Testing, 1, 2. There we go. That's better. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this, the 8th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. It is also July 15th. You know what that means, don't you?
No.
We're at the halfway point. We're at the Ides of summer. Right? Is that good news?
No.
Is that bad news? For those who like moving snow and cooler temperatures... Is that good? Yeah, I'm already starting to feel like that rush towards the next season. How many of you think this is bad news and you want it to be summer forever? Might have to move to Arizona or something. Anyway, special welcome. Welcome to visitors that are in our midst. I just boosted this up a little bit and maybe a little bit too much. I sound like I'm in a aircraft hangar or something here. There, is that better? Can you still hear me? Okay? All right. Anyway, special welcome to visitors and guests that are in our midst today. If you're visiting today, is that Jim? A guy in the blue shirt back there. You got to bug him. He was our bus driver in Houston. Brought us safely back alive. Thank you, sir. And came to worship with us on our closing worship. Jim, it's a delight to have you here. Thanks for coming. So in a few minutes, everybody, you got to all rush to the back and greet Jim, okay? Any other visitors today? Pretty much otherwise, welcome. Great to have you here, sir. And thanks for being a part of our worship today. A couple of announcements. Next Sunday is Family Choir. Next Sunday is Family Choir at 9 a.m. If you want to come and rehearse, anyone is welcome. We'll go through us. 9:30. Oh, okay, 9:30. See, you get to sleep in an extra half hour. What a deal. 9:30, Family Choir. We'll quick go through a song, and during special music time, we'll share that. By the way, special music today is listed as Stephanie Anderson. She's in North Carolina. So it's going to be really hard for her to sing for us today from there. So when we get to that part, we'll just kind of keep going through the service. Also, we have started doing something old that's new again. And that's setting three in our red hymnals. It's the old setting two, or setting one from the green hymnal. Turn with me, if you would please, to page 140. 140. Well, really make it 138, okay? Turn 138 in the front of your hymnal. So we're going to do a little tutorial on how this is going to work today. I'm going to sing that part that goes, "In peace let us pray to the Lord." And Lynn is going to help you all sing, "Lord have mercy." And then when we get to page 140, we're going to join together in the hymn of praise. This is the feast of victory for our God. Sound familiar? Heard that one before, haven't you? Kind of a blast from the past today. But you'll see little numbers. So we sing that refrain, all of us together. And then when it says, "Worthy is Christ," you see that little number one there, everybody? This side is going to be odd because you're on my side and I'm odd, okay? And then when we get down to the bottom of page 140, it says power, riches, and wisdom. See that little number two there? Got it? You're all looking at so intently at your hymnals, you don't even see me over here. Got it? Bottom of page 140? Bob Agnew is still looking for it. That is your cue, this side of the church, to sing that section of Power Riches. And we get to the refrain, we'll all sing that together. And then three lines down on page 141 where it says, sing with all the people of God. This side is going to sing again because we're the odd side, right? And then about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down, that fourth line from the bottom, for the Lamb who was slain, there's a number four there. You got it, Bob?
Yeah.
Yes, excellent. Then you're on again, and we'll all sing together the final refrain. Okay? Make sense? No? Just roll with it. When in doubt, clear, sing loud. Okay? Let's take a moment to stand up, greet one another, and then remain standing. I apologize. I deeply apologize. I did receive a note here that I wanted to share with you all. Dear friend of our congregation, Doug Lindgren, is in the Bemidji Hospital, and we pray for Doug's recovery this morning. So please keep Doug and his family in our prayers. With that, let's greet one another, remain standing, and begin our worship. Please remain standing as we prepare our hearts and minds for holy worship. We join together in singing Lead On, O King Eternal, hymn number 805. Me, please, to page 138 in the front of your red hymn book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast, 140.
This is the feast of victory for our God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God.
This is the feast of victory.
Prayer of the day is found printed both on your celebrate insert and in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Today's first reading is found in the book of Amos. And Amos was not the kind of a prophet attached to temples or royal courts. Rather, he was an ordinary farmer from Judah, called by God to speak to Israel. God's word of judgment through Amos conflicted with the king's court prophet, Amaziah, whom Amos encountered at Bethel. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I'm a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Also in your insert is the psalm reading for today, find in your bulletin. And we read that responsively, you reading the bold print. From Psalm 85, I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring out from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God to have.
Second reading is from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory.
Getting things ready, so I'll
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to St. Mark. Please stand for the reading.
To whom shall we go?
As Jesus and his disciples begin to attract attention, Mark recalls the story of John the Baptist's martyrdom. Like John, Jesus and his disciples will also suffer at the hands of those opposed to the gospel of salvation. Holy Gospel of our Lord according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said it is Elijah, and others said it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill John, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to John. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John, the baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took John's body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of our Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, there are times when you call prophets in our midst to prophesy, to say a hard word in a smooth season. Let us be attentive to the prophets in our midst and listen to your will for us now. To this end, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strong rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to introduce to you to a plumb line of sorts. Do you know, you may want to know what a plumb line is? Okay. A plumb line is something that's used to keep things in balance. It's a tool. It's a way of keeping things straight. This is a plumb line, in a manner of speaking. The youth that went on our trip know who this is. This is Astro. Astro guided us and protected 30 of us as we traveled through Houston together with 31,000 other Lutherans. So what we did is we took Astro in the front of our group and we raised Astro up so that everybody could see where we were going and stay together. A few visuals about how we used this plumb line of sorts. So here's just one picture of about 75, 100 kids getting on the metro rail and heading down to a gathering of that one day that when we did our mission and service work out in the community, we wanted to be a visible presence of God's love as Lutheran Christians in Houston together. And so over 10,000 of us wore orange t-shirts that day. Have you ever tried to keep track of 30 people in a crowd of 10,000 when you're all wearing the same colored shirt? Thus, we used Astro. There's Kelly holding up Astro, and here's our group moving along, and you might be able to see Astro here leading us forward. We didn't sing "Lead On, O King Eternal." We sang "Lead On, O Astro," as we made our journey. Tools like monkeys on selfie sticks and plumb lines help to create order. It's good to have good tools in our midst. They help us order our society and structure things in a positive way. This is a plumb line, another tool, and this gentleman here is trying to raise a rock foundation full of uneven edges, but also needing to be straight and true. So the plumb bob at the bottom of the plumb line weighs this out. My dad was up in Bemidji last Tuesday, and he sat in our text study as we gather at First Lutheran, and he told the story of he and his dad, my Grandpa Palmer, namesake for our second son, Palmer John. And he said, we always used a plumb line, and Dad would take a piece of mason string and tie a bolt to it when we'd go out setting fence. Now, you need to know that Dad was a dairy farmer in western Wisconsin. And if you get past the Twin Cities and you're driving towards Madison or Chicago, all of a sudden you get into some really hilly country. That's the homeland in the Oliva Strum area, Chimney Rock Lutheran Church. Anyway, putting a fence post on a hillside can be a little tricky. So Dad told the story of how his dad, when they set the fence post, Grandpa would cup that bolt in his hand to keep, if it was windy out, to keep that string straight. It was such a beautiful story the way he told it. It was almost like I was standing over my grandpa and my dad, watching them work the farm in Wisconsin. So Amos is a prophet at a time when things are actually pretty good for the people of Judah and the people of Israel. There's been some divisions, but storms are coming, and the prophet comes to warn about the coming of the storm. Prophets are not often welcome. And so God speaks to the prophet Amos. This is what the Lord showed me, a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said to him, a plumb line? Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. It's a judgment when things have gone out of straight and are crooked now and need to be torn down and rebuilt. That's the story of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And soon they will be brought under the captivity of Babylon and taken as slaves into a foreign country. But the people don't want to hear that. So they have their own court-appointed prophet, the king's prophet, a guy by the name of Amaziah, who says, oh, seer, to Amos, oh, seer, go flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for this is the king's sanctuary, and it is the temple of the kingdom. In a time when truth is challenged, and we ask ourselves, what is truth in the midst of fake news and whose story is right or wrong? Even in our country now, we have challenges. And who's telling the truth? Is it Fox News? Is it CNN? Is it MSNBC? And what sort of political tide or opinion should I follow? So it was at the time of Amos when God said, set a plumb line amongst my people. Now, Amos didn't want to be a prophet. One of my professors, Terry Fretheim, Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary, had a cartoon on his office door, and it's of a man in his kind of smoking jacket reading his newspaper in front of a nice roaring fire in what obviously is a beautiful mansion, and his son is standing over his shoulder, and he says, "Dad, I want to grow up and be a prophet of doom." Nobody, and the irony is, nobody would say, "You know what, I think I'll be a prophet of doom." And so sure it is that Amos responds to Amaziah. He says, "I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son. I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees." Probably my favorite piece of scripture in the Old Testament. One of my favorites. Certainly in my top five. I love to say to people, because it's true but not true, I am not a pastor or a pastor's son. I am a herdsman, or I'm a tree farmer and a planter of evergreen trees. If it were up to me, that's what I would do. I love being in the woods. Every year, I plant trees in the spring, and it's such beautiful, mindless work to take that tree planter and stick it in the ground and open up the soil and place that beautiful young tree in the ground and close it up after it and pray that it'll grow. Navigating truth and the will of God in the midst of a congregation of sometimes very strong-willed people is a thing that I want to run away from. And yet God has called me to this yoke, to this calling, and I can't get away from it. If I try to walk away, God's word burns within me. And sometimes there's words of judgment, of prophecy that need to be spoken. But I just want people to like me. I am not a pastor or a pastor's son, but a tree farmer and a planter of evergreen trees who has been called from the woods to share a message. In our gospel lesson today, we have another ruler who is bending the truth. His name is Herod, King Herod. King Herod has married his brother Philip's wife, and there's a prophet to speak against that. His name is John the Baptist. And can you imagine a caravan heading into Jerusalem or into the courts of Galilee, and there's a prophet shouting out, "Herod, Herod, you've married your brother's wife. Repent. Turn your life around." This plumb line of truth. Well, there wasn't any freedom of the press at that time, or freedom of the prophet, if you will. So Herod has John arrested. And yet Herod fears John, knowing that he's a righteous and holy man. And so Herod protects John to a point. He liked to hear John preach, and he was greatly perplexed, yet liked to listen to him. But Herod had his own plumb line, and that was the court of public opinion. And when Herodias' daughter Herodias dances for Herod, he makes an oath and says, "Oh, she's so beautiful. I will give you anything that you want. I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter," she replies. What a gruesome story, huh? The Bible is not PG-13, folks. It's bloody and it's painful, and sometimes it's a stark reflection on the world that we live in today. And so Herod has his own plumb line. Out of regard for his oaths and the guests who are looking on, he keeps his word, Herod's word, because king is above the law. King gets to do what he wants. Again, sometimes we wonder about that with elected politicians too. And so, with that sort of a plumb line, he has John beheaded. This is a hard sermon about judgment, isn't it? Yesterday, Sarah and I were asked to judge the artwork at Art in the Park. And that was fun because, you know, we're new in the community and we got to walk around and see some beautiful work. But there was also something really uncomfortable. Hey, new pastor in town, why don't you come and judge us? I want you to know that the reason Jesus has come, the reason that Jesus has broken into this world, is that none of us has a straight plumb line. And each of us are deeply in need of redemption, of love. And if we could keep our plumb line straight and our lives so very true, we wouldn't even need a Savior. Jesus wouldn't have had to show up at all. And so now our plumb line is a cross. We're reading Mere Christianity for our July book discussion. Next Monday, we'll gather at the Java Walk at noon and at 6 o'clock to talk about C.S. Lewis. And the front of his book, I have to tell you, is really heavy because he deals a lot with morality. And then finally, he gets to this point, 39 pages into the reading, when he's been drubbing morality again and again and again. And he says, after you have realized that there is a real moral law and a power behind the law, that's God, and you have broken that law and put yourself wrong with that power, can you just feel the weight? I've been reading that for 39 pages now. After all of this, and not a moment sooner, it's that Christianity begins to talk. And the message of Jesus' love, God's redemption, breaks in. This is our plumb line. There is no moral higher ground here. We gather at the feet of the cross as God's redeemed people, and then we go and we serve our neighbors the best we can with a plumb line that we know isn't quite straight and crooked, but we're given to our neighbors anyway. And the power of the cross and the power of this message, that just when we think we've got it figured out, and we've figured out that we are wrong with the power, and not a moment sooner, the love of Christianity begins to talk. May that message of love and forgiveness and the plumb line that is the cross speak to you today. Amen. Please stand as we sing our hymn of the day.
Oh,
Turn with me, please, to page 105. Page 105 in the front of your hymnal. Together we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's share that peace with each other.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and the redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
our Lord Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. For as often as we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." I invite you, if you wish, to join hands with your neighbors as we pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words of invitation. Come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more, you who have tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed, come. It is Christ who invites you to meet him here. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Or thanks be to God. Please be seated. The ushers will direct you forward. Congregation, please stand for the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. And may God's people say, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing song, our song of the month that we're introducing, Hallelujah, We Sing Your Praises. It's found on page 535. Serve the Lord.